You're listening to A Poor Girl's Guide to a Rich Life, the podcast where we are becoming the best versions of ourselves, rich in all areas of our lives, not just our bank accounts. I'm Alicia Ward. I'm your host on this journey to create a life rich with fulfillment, health, and mental wealth. In each episode, we'll share insights, we'll share lessons, and we'll share practical tips to empower you on your own path to a rich and meaningful existence. Please make sure to check the show notes for all links and all sponsors, and please subscribe and leave us a review. Thanks for listening. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. Happy to have you here. Episode 144. This episode I have tried to record multiple times, and I was about to release the original one that I recorded, but I did record it kind of in the heat of the moment. My emotions were all over the place, literally a roller coaster. You'll understand why as we get into this episode. And then I listened to it again. I was like, I should just post it. And I still kind of feel that way, but I came to the conclusion after, you know, after some time to just settle down and really process everything, to just re-record the podcast in a way that just gives more value instead of me like having a free full-on therapy session with you and then dumping everything that happened. Because even though none of you know who it is that I'm speaking about in this episode, because I don't really share my personal life that much. And obviously when I'm dating and I'm going on dates with people, it's not like I'm posting them on my story or anything. And everything that happened was in a very brief, like a 6-week time where I was dating someone, actually officially, which doesn't happen a lot, but it was still very new. Okay. And it was someone who didn't even live in the same country. So, you know, it obviously, it would take time to get to that point with someone to get to know and all the things. But anyways, I'm not the type of person to like air dirty laundry and even share really personal details, but because you don't know who it is that I'm speaking about, and because I did post a TikTok in the heat of my emotion venting about what happened and posted it and it going quite viral. I mean, there's over 30,000 views on it and so many comments. Every time I log in, then there's so many comments. And majority of those comments are people telling me things like, wow, you really dodged a bullet. That like you're being protected, like be happy that that happened. Be happy you got dumped, because that's what we're going to be talking about. Blah. And there was so much of that. People saying, you know, like red flags, like trying to isolate you because, you know, you'll understand the story. And then one of the main comments that really stood out to me was rejection is protection. So that's what I want to really kind of aim the value in this episode towards, is that rejection in your life is actually protection. And what a nice way to look at things instead of looking at things like rejection or like you're hurt or that, you know, you could have done something differently to make things different. Just looking at things more of a like rejection from someone is protection, okay? And that it all kind of trickles into life is happening for you, not to you. So to sum up the story quick, and then we'll move more into like what I've learned from it and how you can grow from my personal experience, is that I met someone from being on their podcast like a couple years ago, okay? So it was nothing. There was thought nothing of it. As far as I knew, this person was married. That's what I thought. Anyways, podcast was whatever. You know, over a year later, this person reaches back out in my DMs on Instagram. Is like, hey, I haven't checked in on you in a long time. Like, how are things? And, you know, I got into the conversation with this person about like just a little bit of life in Canada and being back in Canada after living in Mexico and what it's like to be like, you know, we just kind of got into a conversation. It's someone I had a podcast with. So it's like, we are those types of people, like just share about real stuff. Plus they're very much aligned with myself and you on all the bullshit that happened through the pandemic and just everything like that. So yeah, so kind of just get into a conversation. I brought up something about like dating and what it's like kind of dating and then kind of looking to date someone who isn't necessarily jabbed, you know what I mean? And how difficult that can be and just another hurdle and how weird it is now in these times that that's something that we actually think about, you know? And he really kind of was like, oh my God, you're single? Like, how are you single? How did I not know this? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, like, we don't talk. So, like, why would you know? And anyways, he continued to pursue me after that. I didn't think much of it, but he did start, you know, messaging me, being like, hey, well, maybe you should come to Texas, or, you know, I'll be in Vegas at this point. Maybe you should come there. And kept talking to me, checking in. So eventually, because very much in my dating scene, I do want to touch on this too, because I have been single for 3 years. So I know to some it may seem like I date a lot. I even was called by somebody that I know, like a serial dater. But in my world, like if you're dating and you're putting yourself out there and you're really learning what you want and what you don't want, and, you know, looking for someone's energy that feels good, you're going to go on a lot of dates. It doesn't mean that you're going home with every date, and it doesn't mean you're having more than a coffee with a lot of these people. For me, I'm like, okay, if I want to let, you know, source know that I am putting myself out there and that I'm available to date. But each time I go on a date or I briefly see somebody, you know, because maybe you end up going on a few dates with somebody that you feel a bit of a connection to, so you're just kind of seeing it out. You know, if that leads into a short little brief relationship, that is what dating is. And that is kind of how it goes, as far as I know. I don't know how all these, you know, I don't know how, if me hermiting in my house and just staying inside and only ever talking, you know, to my podcast or my Instagram story is going to bring me the love of my life. I mean, I guess it could. But because I have a big platform and stuff, for the average person who doesn't have that, no, you do have to put yourself out there. You have to get clear on what you want. But that's the key thing. So that's what I want to circle back to through all this, is that when this guy broke up with me, I reevaluated everything and I sat down and I really journaled and got very clear on who it is that I'm trying to attract, how they make me feel, what their relationship is with their family, all these different things, because I haven't done that yet. I've thought about it and people tell you to do it, but I haven't actually done it. So I finally did it. Let's circle back to that story and all of that. And, you know, so continued to date him. Why wouldn't I? Let me just mention, though, that there was a lot of red flags in this that, me reflecting now, I was overlooking. Absolutely. But just from my perspective, after the person I had gone on some date with prior and what had happened with that, I was very much like, wow, this guy's a fucking, he's chivalrous. He's a Texan man. He opends my car door. He's sending me flowers every week. No fucking kidding. Valentine's Day, I got flowers. Two sets of flowers. Okay, this is not something that I'm used to. Buying me gifts, sending me sending me random packages and gifts and stuff from Amazon. And these are red flags. I fucking hate to say it, because of course we love getting gifts and stuff, but if it's in the first few weeks, it's going to be a red flag if he's dumping that much money into you. And I am going to only share this story with you because I've been looking back since he dumped me over a text message, for the reason I will tell you why. Just with, like, I took my rose-colored glasses off. I was fully invested into a relationship that I was trying to make work, because he checked all these boxes, but I was completely ignoring the red fucking flags of, well, I'll just list them off. So these are red flags that I ignored that you absolutely shouldn't ignore, okay? In the first week of dating someone, they've never met you before. They tell you how strongly they feel about you, and they start saying things like, you're going to be my wife, okay? Sends you flowers every week, buys you a ton of gifts, says, I love you, way too soon. I mean, this person told me that they loved me without actually meeting me in person. Big red flag. I take full responsibility for my fucking rose-colored glasses in this too. I feel pretty silly, but because I posted it on TikTok and so many people gave me feedback and so many people could relate, it made me realize that the whole love bombing thing is very common, and it's not just me. But what I did have to do was stop and reflect and look back on, like, why do I continue to find myself in these same situations and continue to attract the same guy? And when this happens in life, you have to look at it as, you're continuing to be put in the same position because you're not healing what's being brought up in that situation. And I read something today that said your nervous system will feel calmer in comfortable chaos than it will in unfamiliar peace, meaning that your nervous system will feel more calm when you're putting yourself back into a chaotic situation if that's what you're used to, and it will feel uncomfortable and like alarms going off, or maybe you'll be seeing some red flags when there isn't, or making red flags up when it's like a peaceful, good, healthy love, which I can totally relate to. Because I can look back and there's so many red flags in this that I just totally overlooked because I, you know, if I'm being totally real with you and vulnerable, like I'm 33, I'm turning 34. I felt ready to move into the next chapters of my life, find my person, you know that that's my person, look forward to getting married, having kids and all of that. I feel like I've been ready for that for a while. But what I've learned from this most recent experience is that maybe I am not. There's still something that I haven't healed, right? Something that has me attracting that same situation and type of person. And so I think the biggest lesson for me in this was, because what happened was he came in hot and heavy. So within this first month, you know, it had gone from 0 to 100 real quick. He loved me. I was going to be his wife, like have his babies. I was going to move to Texas. Like I could have anything I wanted. Like all of this love bombing, okay, all of it. And I was just, I guess, caught up in it. And to look back now, I was completely disconnected from myself and how I was feeling, which is a huge internal alarm system going off. But I just thought I was a bit run down, or I was tired, or whatever. I wasn't like paying close enough attention. And anyways, I was babysitting my niece and my nephew, and I had brought up to them, like, you know, how would you feel if Auntie did move away to Texas just for like maybe a few years and then I'll move closer? Because this guy had told me we could move anywhere when he sold his company in a few years, which regardless, I know how stupid that sounds saying it out loud within the first month of dating, but you know, for me, these are things that I want with somebody. I want someone to look at me and like want that life with me. And that's probably some trauma because I did leave my previous relationship because he couldn't see that future with me. And it really was disheartening. It's like we were together 5 years. You don't see me as your future wife or kids necessarily. You don't know. You're unsure. That unsureness makes me unsure and uneasy. So, you know, it's better to leave that. And I'm glad because I've grown so much as a person in the last 3 years, but I have grown into a version of myself who's ready for those things. So when I share that with somebody, it's not so that they can use it against me and then love bomb me with it to make me feel like I've found the fucking my person. It's like, no, those things should still take time. So I take total responsibility for not being smarter in that area. And I do recognize now how sharing too much of that too early with someone can be a little bit dangerous because they can turn around and use what they know that you want to hear against you and tell you everything you want to hear and just turn themselves into this like knight in shining armor in your eyes, right? So we want to be careful of that. No matter what, take your time with dating and oversharing and just really get to know someone and get to know their energy. Because what happened after I told my niece and my nephew, and they were genuinely upset at the thought of me even leaving temporarily, made me stop and think like, what am I thinking? I can't tell this guy that yes, I will move to Austin eventually, because he wanted me to this year, like before the end of the year. And I was like, nah, I don't know right now that that's something that I could do because I want to be in Calgary. And then like, you know, thoughts of me going to another country and getting pregnant and like, but none of my family or oldest friends being near enough without having to take like an 8-hour fucking travel day to come and see me just kind of didn't feel that good. So I shared how I was feeling to him. Just honestly, I was like, you know, this is how I'm feeling. This is why it came up. And I just wanted to be honest with you. Anyways, his entire energy shifted. It did a 180 when I did this. Totally. It went from like warm and kind and loving to cold, shut down, and distant and quiet. And I was like, okay. And he's like, I don't know how to respond to that. I'll have to just sleep on it. I was like, okay, yeah, take your time. And like, I didn't think much of it because it doesn't seem like it's a big deal so soon in a relationship. But I guess it could be to someone. We FaceTimed the next day about it. So he was like, he's not happy, I guess, because, you know, you can just tell when someone's energy shifts and they're feeling. So anyways, we end up having a FaceTime, and essentially what came out of it that was the deal breaker for me was he said, anything that gets in between us and our connection, including your family, becomes a problem. And I was like, what? Whoa. What the fuck? Is that like a Texas thing or something? Because that is weird, because I've been very clear from the beginning how important my family is and how much I love being an auntie and how I love living in Calgary so I can be close to them. So for someone who says that they love you and care about you to turn around and say something like that when they know that is something that brings you joy and fills your cup, fucking run, first of all. So I'm glad that this all happened the way it did and as early as it did, because it really allowed me to like take off my rose-colored glasses and see. That being said, when we got off the FaceTime, the next morning when he texted me a breakup, like, hey, I've thought about it. Let's take a clean break. I wish you all the best. I was like, what? Just because. Initially, I honestly thought this was like one of the most masculine men I had ever met. And this kind of keeps happening. It's like the people in my mind who I think are the most masculine men and like emotionally available are not. It's very strange, but huge learning lesson for me. Anyways, he breaks up with me. So of course, and for any woman and anybody, guys included, who go in like 48 hours from having someone who is in love with them, as they've been told and wants to have a life with them, to go to breaking up with them over a text message because you were honest about how you were feeling instead of being like, you know, we can work on that, just shows me that the love, I'm putting in quotations, was conditional, not unconditional. So that's just that. Like, you attract who you are. So I had to really look at myself and be like, after all the confusion went and after I had some vent sessions and I even vented to my TikTok, and I did even vent to a podcast episode that I won't post that whole thing because you know how I can get in my rants. But like after getting that all out of my system, I had to look at myself and be like, okay, like where's this gap? Why am I attracting this conditional love into my life instead of unconditional love, you know? And is that because I don't love myself unconditionally? I know I love myself right now. I've done so much work to get me there. But yeah, it had me really look at like, do I love myself unconditionally? Which I feel like I do. So it had me really look at, okay, why does this continue to happen in my life? Why am I attracting the same pattern? Because this is one of five quite significant experiences that I've had in the last 3 years of someone who has completely love bombed me. Ask my best fucking friends. They will tell you like insane stuff. I should be better to say like, no, this is a red flag and this is too soon. I don't think you actually feel that way, but I get caught up in it too. And like, and that being said, what I have learned now is not, I have that was the last and final time. What I did to kind of heal, what I hope is what I need to heal so I can stop attracting that conditional love into my life, is I sat down and I got clear on, yeah, what it is in me that I need to heal. I want to be more intentional with loving myself unconditionally. So finding the parts of me that I don't love about myself and then working on those. I went and did some major energy work with a Reiki healer that I loved, made me feel so good. I journaled and I got so fucking clear on who this person is. So with Texas man, we'll call him, one big thing that I noticed was he was not close with his family at all. Okay. And I am. So I can kind of see why in his mind, if I would not want to move to Texas, let's say, because of my family, to him, that's like betrayal in essence. I don't know. This is how I've made it make sense. Because he can't understand and get on that level of what it feels like to like have that close connection with your family and your friends that are family and their kids and like what that feels like. So, you know, I know from that, and one thing that I changed in who I wanted to attract in my life was someone who is close with their family so that they can understand and they will support me and building stronger relationships and connections with my family and also do the same with mine, because fuck, half the fun of being with somebody is gaining more family, you know? And not everybody is lucky enough to do that, but like, you know, I struggle with my relationship with my mom. So fuck yeah, I want a good mother-in-law that I can like go have wine with or whatever. Like, and also you really want to think about when you're my age and you're literally choosing your partner based on what you're looking for, where you're at in your life and the things that you value. So for me, being pregnant, when I am pregnant one day, but being close that I can have my siblings, so aunties and uncles in their lives, like I'm in my niece and my nephew's life, that is important to me. When I think about that, it brings me joy. When I think about being pregnant and not having that, having a baby and not having them close, that doesn't bring me joy. So that's what I'm following. So I got very clear in that in my journaling that, you know, this person has a really close relationship with his family. He really values family. Now I know that this person will most definitely be in Canada and close to where I'm at now. Like I said, this was one of five quite significant times of being in a situation with this love bombing. And a lot of them were guys in other countries or another province who, because I work for myself, they just, you know, even though I was very clear how much I valued being in Calgary around my family, or some of these happened when I still lived in BC, but it was still me moving to another country. Always when I said, no, I don't want to move, is when they change. And I can see like a direct pattern between all of these experiences, okay? And something that was really brought up in my TikTok too is people saying that's them trying to isolate you away from your friends and your family. And when you say that, like, no, my friends and my family are more important, like this is something that's important to me, and they realize that they can't isolate you away from those people, that's when they break up with you. And I was like, oh, fuck, that actually is so relatable, because, you know, this is like a duplicate of what happened when I was, and he had wanted me to move to Salt Lake City. And I originally was like, yeah, I can do that. Then I thought about it some more and I called him up. I was like, hey, I will move to Salt Lake City with you for a month, maybe two, but I'm going to keep my place in Kelowna. And that's where I lived at the time, because I have my plants and like I have all my stuff. And so I'm going to keep my place here and pay rent, but I'll still come move to Salt Lake City and like we'll see how this goes for a couple months and then I'll make a decision. As soon as I said that to him, he fucking 180'd, turned totally cold and ended it. No jokes. I can't make this shit up. So it's the exact same thing. So this experience has really made me fix what I needed to fix to stop attracting the same situation and really pay more attention to these huge red flags like love bombing. And also this line, rejection is protection, coming into my mind, because it's not something that's, it's now one of my favorite quotes, but it, you know, it was this scenario that brought it into my life. And also now that I've had time, you know, I do really want to say things can change for you so quickly. And if you do go through something that feels like rejection and you are confused and you're like, what the fuck? What did I do wrong? I just want to remind you that, again, rejection is protection and things can change for you so quickly, especially if you use these moments to reconnect with yourself, to spend more time with yourself, to reflect on who you're being, or maybe what you haven't healed to keep attracting these similar experiences into your life. Just use these moments for growth, because if you're single and you're dating, you know, it's a fucking, it's wild, wild west out there. It's wild, you know, but you can't lose hope, because you never want to settle. And I will not fucking settle. I will continue through each date or conversation or experience like this, get closer to my person the person who can meet me where I want to be, who literally checks all my boxes. The person who's perfect for me is not going to be who's perfect for you, but you need to know who your perfect person is and what those boxes are that you need checked. And do not settle unless they are all checked. It's so, so important. Pay attention to the red flags. Know what boxes you need checked and do not settle. And remember that rejection is protection. I love you so much. I'll talk to you on the next episode.
Before we get to today's episode, I just want to thank our sponsors. First of all, Mindful Meds. I can't say enough good things about this company. I have been taking Mindful Meds supplements, both that include psilocybin for microdosing and the ones that do not, for since this company was born, honestly. And they help with your overall health, your mental health, anxiety, addiction issues. There's so many things that microdosing can help you with. So I really encourage you to check the show notes, go to the link, check out the website, learn more about it, message them on Instagram if you want. All the information is linked for you there, as well as a code for a discount if you decide to try Mindful Meds out.
Thanks for listening and being a subscriber to A Poor Girl's Guide to a Rich Life. Your support means so much to me. Don't forget to check the show notes for any and all links. You never know what you're going to find there. It can be different every single time. And again, don't forget to drop us a review. It helps the podcast so much. I do this for free, so that means the world to me. We'll catch you next week in another episode.